2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, my guest today hardly needs an introduction, but I'm going to attempt to give her one anyway. She is an award-winning podcaster, a DJ, a model. She has sold out huge international tours, co-hosting the hugely successful show My Therapist Goes to Me, has millions of followers around the world. And to me, she is the definition of fun and beauty. And she joins me now on the eve of the release of her frank and hilarious memoir called Big Mouth. Vogue Williams, you absolute legend. You're very welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hello. I love coming on the show. Can I get a video clip of that? That was the nicest thing anyone's ever said about me.
It's one thing we're good at. It's a good intro. Vogue, the book. Oh my God. I'm dying for everybody to be able to read it and to delve into it. It's you, quite literally, in a book. You've done such an amazing job. But I heard it took you 5 months to actually write it. Like, how has it been stuck in your own head and your own thoughts for 5 full months, good and bad?
I'll tell you what. So I started, the deal came through in September, and I'd always wanted to, like, I'm desperate to start writing fiction books. That's what I've always wanted to do. And they were like, why don't you give this a go first? And I think that there was, there's a lot of, like, I didn't want it to be like a depressing book or anything like that. I didn't want it to be something that I talk about all the time. I wanted it to be stuff that I'd never spoken about before, that I find interesting, that I hope other people find interesting, and just find something positive and fun if you're sitting on the beach reading it or wherever you are, that you'll just enjoy it. But with the 5 months thing, so yeah, I did it in September, and then they wanted it handed in by February. But I loved writing so much. It's the only time my mind is ever been quiet, and like I was just able to, I'm really good at like setting myself a target for something. Yeah. So I was like, right, I need to do this amount of words each week to be able to get to December, where I'll start editing it. Now, I absolutely despise myself now because I've had to read it 3 times because I was editing it, and then I've had to read the audiobook. In the audiobook, I was literally like, oh God, I hate myself so much. I'd rather hurt myself so much. I'm like, I never want to talk about myself again. But here I am.
But whatever about like actually writing a book, then having to read all the words that you've written over and over and over again, that must have been hard.
It was really hard, but my friend came on board to edit it with me, and like she just gets me and she understands, and like she's written books herself. Her name's Una, and she did our tour with us for Therapist as well, and she was just like, I was like, what's wrong? I hate it. And I hate it. She was like, this is part of the process. Like, you will get to a point where you actually can't stand it anymore because you're reading it so much. And I was like, okay, good, because I'm worried everyone else will hate it.
I can absolutely guarantee you they won't. It is like, it's a pain Turner Vogue, it's so well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Talking about, like, I mean, because you go through absolutely everything. You talk about, like, you know, your mom, your dad, your stepdad, your sister Amber, your relationships. Like, you cover everything along with your whole life in it. But, like, I know that we've talked about this so many times, but the fact that, by Irish standards, certainly, being called Vogue in the 80s, like, that definitely had to have had its challenges. Like, you had to make it Vogue.
Do you know, I got in a taxi yesterday. I was leaving ITV. I was working on Lorraine, and I got in a taxi, and he goes, Vogue, is that your name? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, what a lovely name. And I was like, really? Like, no one's ever told me that that's a lovely name. I was like, thank you so much.
That's because you're in London.
I'm like, it's a little bit tacky, but I'll take it if you say it's lovely.
It's not. It's actually hilarious though, because it really suits you. And like, that's what I mean. Like, you had to make it. There was no other choice with the name like Vogue.
I'm still trying. I'm still kicking that can down the road.
Vogue, I mentioned there about the fact that you talk about like your mom, dad, and your stepdad and all that, but your early life really does sound like there was lots of big ups and downs, including your parents' divorce. But you sometimes use that to your advantage, like, didn't you?
Oh God, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know I shouldn't say this, but like, it probably was. I know it was very difficult for my mom and my dad, but I had a great time because My parents, my mom and Neil were so strict. Like, Neil's like a third parent to me because he's been in my life forever. He's more Irish than I am as well. He finally got a citizenship. He's been there for like, I think, 43 years. But yeah, so they were really strict. So I'd be with them and they'd be like, you know, you can't go to Wesley. Remember Wesley? You can't go to Wesley. You can't do this. Not, and I'd be like, okay, fine. And then I'd be like, oh, I'm going to dance this weekend. And off I'd go to Wesley. Even once with Oxygen. Remember Oxygen?
Oh my
They're
God.
Like, you're 16, you're not going. And all my friends were going, and I was like, you're dead right, you're dead right. I'm going to see Dad, we're going to Scaries for the weekend. Off I went to Oxygen. Had a great time. I wouldn't snuck away on holidays.
Oh, you didn't. Where did you go?
I went to Benna Medina. The only place I could, yeah, me and my friend. She told her mom she was staying with me, and I told my dad I was staying with her mom. So off we went, and we ran out of money on the last day. And we just had one bag of crisps until our flight that night. So we had a bag of crisps and a bottle of Coke. We didn't get water, we got Coke.
Of course, that's a teenager's diet.
Exactly.
Vogue, speaking of your dad, Freddie, like, do you think that you got a lot of your characteristics from him?
I mean, he was, here's the thing as well about it, because I go quite deep into different things, and my dad was absolutely brilliant crack. He probably was not brilliant crack with my mom, but like, I'm in that moment where I've got such fear that people are going to, like, there's going to be just little headlines, little snippets of like sentences that I've said. And unless you read the book, you won't see it for being lighthearted and like very family oriented. And he was amazing, but he did have his problems. But I'd say that I'm more similar to him than I think. Although my mom texts me, she's like, look, you're turning into me now. And I'm like, oh God, I know. I can see it. It's happening.
It's not a bad thing though, because everything's nice and clean. Like, yeah. You know, you're like, okay, I will actually, I'll give you credit for that one. Thank you very much, mom.
Yeah, I'm very neat and tidy.
I understand what you're saying though about, like, you know, especially Irish humour and Irish parents and growing up in the in the 90s and noughties, it was just a completely different vibe. Out of context or a snippet like that, you're kind of going, you know, that's not what I meant.
I know. I had like, they were kind of like, you had an unconventional childhood. And I'm like, did I?
Did you?
I think that. Well, I think you might have had too, because I think, as you said, in the 80s in Ireland, like, we were just grown up, and I had we'd spend a lot of time in the pub, but like, we'd be with all our friends, and like, we'd all go for lunch in the pub and we'd collect beer mats. I kind of thought that's what everyone did. I had a great time.
I honestly think, well, that's what we did, and that's what all our friends did as well. Yeah. Drinking bottles of Sidona, having a great time, building up beer mats.
But I don't think, I think it was a very Irish thing. And like, we'd go to the carnival around the corner and stuff. So it's not like we were sitting in a dingy pub in the corner. Like, there was always like kids there, and your cousins would be there, and then you'd be sent off to like the seaside. And like, I would go fishing because it'd be in Scaries. And it was actually a really lovely childhood. But I think some people find it bizarre that you would spend time in a pub as a child. But I don't take my kids to the pub. I think I had
But I think that it's a completely different scenario now. There's other things to do.
And it's
a different culture, and you spend your money on different activities. And, you know, like, I mean, there wasn't exactly baby swimmers or anything like that when we were growing up. So, like, it's a completely different thing altogether. But, like, you know, there is still the unconventional side to your life with your stepdad, Neil. And, like, when he came on the scene, I know you mentioned him there a minute ago, like, things changed in a big way. He was obviously incredibly strict. But you say that you felt embarrassed about it. And was it because of the swimming pools, or
what
was it? Oh no, I've got two pools and my stepdad's, I've got a terrible life.
Oh God. That was very much later in our life. I actually went back to look at that house because it was on the market, and I was like, God, it was so wild to see that we like grew up there. But like, his whole thing was that he was, because he grew up with no money at all. He grew up in tenement flats in Dundee, and kind of just as a self-made man. And he just wouldn't understand why we would need to go out with our friends after school on a weekday when we had this lovely house, and like, we should just be there. And like, so he was very strict in that way. And like, on Saturdays, we just had our jobs at like 7:30 in the morning. We were all up cleaning.
Oh, great. And,
but now I'm like, I really, honestly, I'd say I take most of my parenting stuff from them. I think that they were just like, they were amazing parents. They were strict, but they're literally my best friends now. I set up a group today. I was like, your favorite child, just me and them in it.
Fuck.
No one's written back.
Sometimes, you know, it's a terrible cross to bear, but somebody has to do it. Okay, when you're the favorite kid, you're the favorite kid.
Listen, I wasn't always the favorite. I flew up the ranks. I was the least favorite for most of my life, so I deserve this moment.
You just can't peak too soon. That's what I always tell people. I'm like, if you peak in kind of your 30s, then you're going very well.
And my little brother was the winner. He was called, like, my mom used to call him Ray of Sunshine. Like, Ray. She'd call him Ray. Ray, and I'm like, who is Ray? Like, Ray of Sunshine. I'm like, oh, Mom, please, God, pass me a bucket.
Don't say that out loud again. He's laughing it up. Like, obviously, okay, we're like, the wild stories are the ones that are really good fun, and everybody has them in their back pocket and stuff. But, like, I didn't know that you actually ended up going to college in Aberdeen as well. Was it quantity surveying that you actually studied?
I did construction design and management at Aberdeen, and then I came back to Dublin to DIT and I did quantity surveying. I wouldn't say I was amazing at either of those
things. Doesn't matter.
I really enjoyed it. I had a good time. A good time was had. But yeah, I basically completely flopped in the Leaving Cert. I assumed I was going to go to Trinity to do architecture, which is like 563 points. I got 300 points. So I didn't not only not get Trinity, I got absolutely nothing else either.
I mean, 300 points is still very, very good going. So, like, let that off. And it all, it is. Fine.
Thank you.
It's coming from someone who also got 300 points. I'm like, it all worked out. There's too many similarities
terrible.
Here.
It's only 50%.
But that was my argument. I was like, I got 50%. I got 50% of everything correct. I'm absolutely delighted with myself. I did nothing.
I did nothing.
Vogue, it's so easy to be like, you know, laugh, have a great time, do all these wonderful interviews. But it will shock a lot of people how badly you suffer from anxiety. And you talk about that throughout the book as well. It seems to have begun after the breakdown of your first marriage. That's kind of when you bring it into everyone.
Sorry, Spenny's looking at me.
You're
he
totally
wants
fine.
Pizza that I've brought home. Yes, you can have the pizza. Yes.
Now you're
shaking a bag.
Just eat the bloody thing. You've got to eat it anyway.
You'll eat everything else in the fridge, but pizza's obviously the limit. I do. I get really bad anxiety. I remember just laughing about anxiety, but I'm not. It's awful. But I learned a lot from writing this book. I thought that that's when I got anxiety, but I think as a child growing up with a parent that was so sick all the time and always in hospital and always unsure of what was going to happen with him since I was 12. That's with my dad. I think that caused a lot of confusion for me, and I just was. It stressed me out a lot more than I thought it actually did. God, maybe I was 11 actually. And I think that's actually probably where it did come from, because it was, I remember being very stressed all the time when it was happening. And it happened a lot when I'm like, he was in and out of hospital an awful lot. So I actually think that's where it came from. But I also think nowadays with anxiety, I think that like sometimes I'm just like, oh, it just like bothers me. I kind of just see it as an annoying thing that I just... it will never really go away, but like I'm very good at being able to manage it.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, it's for everyone as well as finding the right tools that will help you manage it. Yeah,
and sometimes you can't, and sometimes you just like have to be like, right, this is not going to be my best day, but it will be fine tomorrow.
Yeah, and we'll get through it. Spencer obviously was trying to grab a pizza off you there. He is a huge part of your life, and you guys have built a fantastic life together. You've got three amazing kids, but he features a good bit in the book as well. Like, tell us a little bit about how you met, just for people who mightn't be familiar with that.
So we actually met on a TV show called The Jump. I hope they bring it back, but everyone kind of nearly died on it, including myself.
I was going to say, didn't you not break your leg?
Yeah, I know I did. I snapped my ACL, but it was so worth it. And I was doing a show. I had a great surgeon. It's now my good knee as well. But it was so much fun. It was this ski show. But it was at a time when neither of us were looking for a relationship. Yeah. I had finally gotten to a point where I was like, oh my God, I'm actually really happy to be on my own. I hadn't been on my own in so long. I'm kind of the relationship girl since I was about 18 or 19. And I just felt really comfortable being single. But then Spenny and I just got on so well, and we just kept kind of going back with each other. And I'd be like, "No, we're not having a relationship. We're just friends. We're friends." And then we just kind of we were like, "You know what? We're
Give
not
in.
Friends.
Yeah,
yeah, we're not friends.
We're a lot more
tough
than
luck.
Friends.
Yeah, you're not single anymore.
No.
So that's kind of where that happened with him. But Spenny's just great crack. He hasn't. He'll be delighted when he does read the parts about himself.
Yeah, I know, but you can't be around him when he does that.
I know, I gave it to my mom. I gave it to my mom and my auntie Sharon. I'm like, you take that now and don't ring me.
Don't come near me. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, with Spencer, I did say, like, you've built a great life together. You've three amazing mm-hmm. kids, but it has given you such a different perspective on life since having kids, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love being a mother. It's my favourite thing in the world. It really is. But it's like, it's hard. It's really hard. I think that we're quite lucky that it didn't change our relationship too much, but it's been such a big part of our relationship the whole time. Yeah. Like, I think we went on one holiday together before I got pregnant. So like, we always have had kids, and we only really considered that. We're like, oh my God, we literally just had barely any time together before we had kids. It was just quite quick. But maybe that's why it doesn't feel like such a big upheaval in our lives. And they're like, they're at an age now where they're just, it's really fun. Like, yeah. Gigi wants to go roller skating, and T has started skateboarding, and it's like things that we kind of like to do with them. So it's getting to a really fun age.
Yeah, I know. And like, when it's meant to be, it's meant to be. You kind of just roll with it, don't you?
Exactly.
You kind of have no choice. Vogue, you have done all sorts of things in the media. What has been some of the best, and what has been some of the not so great experiences? The jump was the greatest.
I loved the jump. I did. I loved it. I loved doing the Bear Grylls show when I did it. I don't love sometimes it feels like people just decide something about you and then they just run with it and write a narrative about that, and that can be quite frustrating. But with regards to work, like, I mean, I've done so many embarrassing things as well, but I'm not in any way like
embarrassed
by them, because I think that they really, like, I loved modeling in Dublin back in the day when we were just plonked on Grafton Street in a bikini and heels, and like, when I look back at the pictures, they really, really make me laugh. But like, you said model there in my intro, and that kind of makes me embarrassed. Hang on. You need to Google that first.
I don't know.
Oh my God,
I like, Gigi Hadid isn't standing in a bikini on the Lewis track, so like, I don't think she's earned her stripes just yet.
She's getting paid millions by Versace. I don't want it.
Where's the crack in it, Vogue? Where's the crack in this?
She'll never know the fun of being freezing cold.
Oh my God, Vogue, I could actually chat to you all day. I genuinely could, right? But like, what for you, like, what are you looking forward to over the next like year? I mean, obviously you've achieved so much between like your own notoriety, the podcast, and now the book that is going to be hitting the shelves tomorrow, which is so exciting.
So exciting and also nerve-wracking, but I'm very excited. I feel like it's a fun read. I hope people enjoy it. And I think that it's all things that you probably will never have known about me before. And just like kind of things I've learned in life, I guess. What am I looking forward to? I always look forward to things with the kids. My mum, I made her, well, I don't make her, she does it herself. It gets too hot in Spain where she lives, and so she leaves. So we take her house and I just go down and work from there. It's the dream.
It's,
I know.
Stunning.
And she's already leaving now. She'll be gone by the time my book comes out. She'll have left Spain. It's too hot. It's even too hot in May now. So we're all thrilled. So I look forward to going down there and working from there with the kids.
Vogue, thank you so much for coming on and chatting to us this morning.
Thank you so much.
I swear to God, the book is one of the easiest reads that I've ever picked up. It is, honest to God, like, you are just telling me your entire life story. It's a page turner. You're not going to want to put it down. Big Mouth by Vogue Williams is published everywhere tomorrow by HarperCollins. The very best of luck with it.
Yay.
Not that you need it.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.